Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Fierceness of the Mother Global Conference, in which we will gather for powerful conversations with both women and men to reveal and restore the ancient feminine ways of knowing. This event is designed to open up space for all of us to reinstate the principle of the continuance of life as our top priority. Here you are invited to tune into the guidance from the feminine force of creation and learn how this force can be used to revolutionize and revitalize our world. And today I'm so excited to welcome Aurora Farber. Welcome, Aurora. Thank you so much for being a part of this event.
Oh, I'm so excited to be here. Thank you, Jocelyn.
Yeah, so glad to have you here. And so I will share your bio with everybody here. So Aurora Anorka Farber, feminine leadership coach, intuitive guide, writer, speaker, and modern day priestess, is on a mission to help women ignite their feminine fire, the three flames of power, love, and wisdom that are the key to awakening the new feminine evolutionary consciousness that will heal our world. She helps women burn away limiting beliefs, align with their feminine moon rhythm, and embody their mythic purpose in the world. Aurora holds honors degrees in literature and foreign language, along with a professional certification in coaching. She is the co-author of three books in the New Feminine Evolutionary series. Through private coaching, online programs, women's circles, and retreats, Aurora creates sacred spaces for women to be held, witnessed, and loved exactly as they are, right here, right now. Her guiding vision is a world of women claiming their creative powers, loving their body temples, and being beacons of fierce wisdom as they burn away archaic limiting beliefs and light the world on fire with love. So Aurora, I love your topic for today, which is dancing in the mystery. Activate your divine feminine archetypes with the lunar cycle. And as I was saying before this, we started recording, I just think this is so important for us to be connecting with the lunar cycle in a really deep way. Yes. So can you tell us first to begin, what does the mystery mean to you and how does that relate to the power of the feminine?
Yes, I'd love to talk about that because my journey with the mystery, it has been a journey. For most of my life, the mystery was kind of something, you know, unknown. I wanted to be more in control. I was kind of taught that we need to know what's ahead of us. We need to plan. And so the mystery, there was a little bit of seduction in it. Oh, the mystery. And then there was also this way, oh no, it's a mystery. I don't know if I'll be in control. And so my life journey, especially as I've embraced the divine feminine consciousness, has helped me discover that the mystery, the unknown, that which we cannot control, is not something to be afraid of or terrified or need to get in control of, need to shine the light on it so that it's no longer a mystery. But instead, in the mystery, that's where all possibilities lie. You know, I love your topic too, the fierceness of the mother. And for me, the mother, the great mother, with her, that archetype of the great mother, all things begin in darkness. Birth happens in the darkness of our wombs. There's that place of darkness, of emptiness, of the unknown, that when, you know, the cell starts to grow, we don't know what we're going to have if we become a mother. We don't know if we're going to have a boy or a girl or twins or blonde hair or blue eyes. We don't know. We have no control. And there's this, you know, think back to when you were pregnant, there's that sense of delight in the mystery. And so becoming a mother has helped me embrace the mystery, but it's been a long journey. It's been, you know, kind of an attachment to this idea that I needed to be more in control. I needed to follow the rules and instead to, you know, not be in the mystery. And for me, this painting behind me is a example for me of the, not only is it an opportunity for us to honor the mystery, but to dance in it. You know, that the way in which we become liberated. And this painting, you'll love this, Jocelyn. I may have even talked to you about this before, but this came from a dream that I had of these two aspects of myself, the feminine and the masculine, that were not integrated. And I, after some active imagination through journaling, I had the two dialogue, and they decided the way that they could come together was through a dance. And in my dialogue dream, the woman was like, you know, freestyle dancing. And the man was like, no, because he was very serious and structured and he wanted everything in control. But he said, I will dance with you in a tango. And he took her in her arm. He took her in his arms and began this dance. And that's what I feel like we're at this point in our lives where we need to, in our world, in our lives too, but where we need to remember that integration of the masculine and the feminine. And when I say, just to be clear, as I'm speaking about this today, when I say masculine and feminine, I don't mean male and female, because we're all basically bisexual. We have feminine and masculine qualities inside of us. And I don't mean that in any kind of sexual way. I mean, as part of our imprint, we have these energies, you know, the yin and the yang, right? And so, yeah, that's what it means to me to dance in the mystery. And why I think it's so important is that when we're able to let go of that belief of the unknown is scary, the darkness is scary, and that the feminine for so many thousands of years has been associated with the darkness, right? The out of control feminine, the lunatic that comes from the word luna, right? Because we don't always feel and act in the same kind of rigid ways. We change, we move like the tides. And so that ability to be able to embrace that part of ourselves that is also mysterious, and also balance it and integrate it with the masculine structures, because we live in a masculine world. We live in a solar world. So it's coming together, that integration, that beautiful dance between the masculine and feminine.
Yeah, I love that what you're saying about dancing in the mystery, dancing with the mystery.
Yeah.
It's so powerful. And it's so needed, because we, you know, at this time on our planet, you know, we don't know what's going to happen next. We really, truly don't. And we need to tap into that mystery, that potential for things we cannot yet see.
Right.
In order to take those first steps forward. So.
Yes. And yeah. The mystery, you know, feeling and leaning into the mystery, there's a certain amount of trust that we need to begin to activate in ourselves as well. And it's so different from what we're taught. If we can control it, then we can trust it. But we can't control things. And so you're right. If we can learn ways and patterns and structures that help us become more comfortable in the unknown, which is basically tapping back into our feminine nature, our lunar nature, then we're more equipped to face unknown as it comes, you know, in our world.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Well, so I know that in your book, Voices in the Moonlight, you wrote about a powerful experience and a dark night of the soul that really helped you to connect more deeply to the feminine. So could you tell us a little bit more about that?
Sure. I'd love to. And, you know, it really relates to what we've just been speaking about, the unknown. And for many of us, we've had dark nights of the soul, whether it's through loss of someone we love or disease or illness or loss of our homes. There's a lot of unexpected unknowns that can just show up in our lives. And for me, that was being diagnosed with melanoma about 5 years ago. And as a person that didn't worship the sun, I wore sunscreen. I was quite surprised that that happened to me. And this had come several years after a breast cancer scare. And so there was a way in which, as I was in that moment of darkness, I felt really betrayed by my body, because I had done all these things to try to become more healthy. And then all this time on my back, I had this unknown, this mole behind me. And so even though the mole was removed, I couldn't let go of the fear of cancer. And so I fell into really deep depression. And, you know, as I look back and I wrote about it, I was just amazed at how creative and magical the universe is, because of course it was a sun cancer that I received, right? And because of that, I was terrified of the sun. You know, I would hardly go out. I had slathered on SPF. I wore gloves. I was terrified of the sun. And the times that I spent in nature were only at night. And it was in that moment, those moments of watching the sun go from darkness to fullness and back to darkness again, I began to have hope because I felt like at that point in my life, I was stuck in the darkness. And I allowed myself to be stuck in the darkness, but I had this sense of hope. And because I had already been working with moon archetypes through the 13 Moon Mystery School, I work with 13 divine feminine archetypes, I had those as resources to help me through the moon cycle. But as I sat there and when I came to write this book, I realized that these voices in the moonlight, why I called it Voices in the Moonlight, is when I came to write this book, it was 5 years later, and I knew in order to write something that was going to touch and reach people, I couldn't just write about an experience that I was no longer like really in and feeling. And so I used one of my magical tools to dance in the mystery, and I played a game that I called DJ Oracle. And so I put on my playlist and I asked for guidance. I'm like, I need guidance. I don't know how to approach this. I knew I wanted to write about the moon cycle. And I landed on the song Stand By Me. And so I began to dance with that song, and the lyrics is what I started the chapter off. It said, when the night has come and the land is dark and the moon is the only light we'll see, no, I won't be afraid. No, I won't be afraid, just as long as you stand by me. And as I heard that song, it like hit me. I can feel it even now. Like it hit me right in the solar plexus and in my heart, because I realized that I felt so betrayed by my body. And that's what I had to write about, the betrayal. And that moment in the darkness where I stayed stuck and I continued to layer and build up a wall between myself and my life and my body because I couldn't control it. I had tried to control it through diet and exercise and all this, and it still wasn't cooperating. And so I felt so disconnected. But as I started to write it, what I realized that it was so easy for me to disconnect, because actually I had been doing it for years. I had been doing it because I had listened to voices of patriarchal voices of who I needed to be. And I wanted to read an excerpt from the book, if that's all right, because it really describes it very well. So I write, for years I had listened to voices outside myself, trying desperately to shape myself and my body into someone, something acceptable enough to be worthy of love. External voices holding me to standards of beauty, appropriateness, and perfection. Cultural voices telling me to be smart, pretty, polite, kind, and put everyone else's needs first. Comparative voices guiding me to a false feminine standard of being thin and soft-spoken, yet assertive and even sexy, but never too sensual, especially in owning my own pleasure. Prescriptive voices that told me the right way to diet, exercise, what to eat, how much to drink, and how much sleep I needed in a one-size-fits-all kind of way. These voices clamoring around in my head, sometimes screaming, sometimes whispering. Get busy. Stop dreaming. Hurry up. Be more. Buy more. Achieve more. You're too slow. You're too fat. You're too skinny. You're so lazy. You're too ambitious. You're too assertive. You're too sexy. You're too wild. You're too much. Calm down. Do it this way. Do it my way. Be different. Act your age. Grow up. Take this. Fix that. Just listen to me. Listen to them. Listen to anyone but yourself. You don't know anything. You think you know everything. Just stop it. Just do it. Just do something. Just change. Because right now, you're just not enough. And you probably never will be. Woo! Even when I read that, it makes me tremble, because I don't know how that feels for you, Jocelyn, but that holds resonance. And even though I've worked through many layers of letting that go, there's still those little tendrils that want to creep up.
Yeah, because that is the message that we get from birth.
Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly. And so when I wrote this book, it was such a gift to, you know, be invited into this. Writing for these books is like being invited into a portal of transformation to kind of receive your own healing and offer something back to the world. Because as I sat and noticed these voices that I had been living with, I started to say, wait a minute, what brought me out of it? And I looked back at the moon cycle and I noticed four different voices coming toward me, basically in four archetypes of mother, queen, goddess, and sage. Mm-hmm. And using the moon cycle, you know, the new moon, the first quarter moon, the full moon, the third quarter moon, as a rhythm in order to activate those voices and those faces of the moon. And it's not that those archetypes are telling me, they're not prescriptive, they're not judgmental, they're not holding me to a cultural standard. Instead, it's an energy of an archetype, you know, a pattern of consciousness that we've had for thousands of years. So, for example, what we're talking about today, the Great Mother, and she is really the one main archetype, right? The Great Mother. Mm-hmm. But her energy is the one that says, there is nothing you can do to make me love you. I simply love you. I will always love you. I'm here for you. I'm holding you. And so during those phases of the moon, that's what I did. And that's what I've created, you know, as the quiz that we're going to talk about later in the program that I'm offering, is an opportunity to learn to be guided by the moon phases. So we've got like this beautiful clock up in the sky, right? The moon. And we can begin a relationship with her. And then for that first week of the new moon, for example, with the mother, is to take time to rest and be nourished, because that's her superpower. Like, where else do you hear that resting is a superpower? Right? So you need to be busy. That's what we're always doing. But it's just, since I've been living my life this way, it's so magical. And it was hard in the beginning. I'd be like, okay, I'm going to rest for 1 hour. And then I kind of stretch it out. And now, you know, I've created in, you know, my program and in my life, different activities to do in each of these phases. And what I find is that it's a way, it's a cadence that allows us to really be more in our lives, to do the things and be who we want to be for what really matters in our lives. It really matters that we rest. It really matters that we nourish and take care of ourselves as mothers, as women, as men. But we're never rewarded. That's, you know, lazy. And so as I've been working with the cycle and resting, I've been amazed. I keep stretching it out. I'm like, oh, I'm supposed to rest today. What can I do? No, I have to garden. I'm in the mother phase. Today we're still in the mother phase, by the way, in my archetypal system, but we're moving into the next phase, which is the queen. And so what I found, the queen is a phase that we're pretty good in, because we're working, a lot of that, the get things done, organizing structure, because we've come from a solar world, right? Structure is important. And yet each of those archetypes has a shadow too. So we can be overworking, right? So part of the queen archetype is also embracing, learning how to really lean back in your throne and be supported by others.
Oh, beautiful.
So
could you tell us, could you break down those, the four archetypes and how they connect with the phases of the moon?
I'd love to. So for anyone that's new to the moon and following it, because for many of us, we are, right? So I would invite you first to just start paying attention to the moon outside, like notice where it is in the phase. And if you want to look online, like find a moon calendar and know where you're at. And then at the new moon, everything starts in the mother. Everything starts at the beginning. So the new moon, from the dark to the moon, that sliver, that's the week basically of the mother phase. And so that's the time to nourish. It's the time to get out of exhaustion and rest more. Do things that nourish you. Nourish you in the way of eating better, even if you're not going to change your diet. Because that's the thing with the moon cycle that's so beautiful. It's not like we have one moon cycle to make our perfect lives. We would be going back to the old ways, right? It's a spiral. It's an evolutionary spiral. So what I love to do is at the new moon is to, what is the intention that I want to receive at this time? And like you and I were talking earlier, it's really about being empty enough to listen to what is important and what matters in your life right now. So that's the first thing at the new moon, is to set intentions, use her superpowers of nourishment through choosing an activity that will nourish your body, mind, or spirit. So it could be eating well or drinking more water or something like that. Or it could be nourishing yourself through intuitive practices by listening more deeply to yourself, or dreaming, creating vision boards, things like that. And then as we move through to the first quarter moon, that's where we start the queen phase. And that's really about support and delegation. And the beauty of it is it helps us get out of overwhelm and chaos. So that's the energy of the queen. And when the reason they're not just labels, but they're archetypes, is that there's an energy that we can begin to embody. So in Voices in the Moonlight, I talk about in that first phase to love yourself like a mother. You know, it's not love yourself like a mother. That's the different energy. It's to love yourself like a mother. Love your own self. Love your family with the mother's unconditional love. And then as we move into the queen, it's to sit back on your throne and take a look at your queendom. All the things that are important in your life, your family, your work, your health, your home, and make some assessments. You'll notice where you're out of balance because that's where you're having the arguments, or that's where those are the things that are keeping you up at night. And use that one phase to, again, not try to conquer everything in one moon phase, one lunation, but to choose something and begin to see. Like for me, last queen phase, I was sitting in my home. It's summertime. It's, you know, it's like more messy than usual. I'm trying to get the kids on a schedule. And so that was when I sat back on my throne. I was like, if I can get some sort of system to help with the housework, it'll make everyone's life easier. And so that was my task in my queen phase for my family, was to sit down and create a housekeeping schedule for all of us that we could actually follow. So that's an example of the queen. And then we move into the full moon. So the fullness of your open-hearted, feminine, unconditionally loving, in communion with the divine, the goddess, right? That's the divine part. So that's all about connecting. So it's a time to connect with others. It's a great time, like for people who are on social media like us, to do podcasts and networking. I try to schedule in my own life to do it during that time, because that's also aligned to the menstrual cycle of ovulation. And that's when we're most magnetic. That's when where our energy is more out there in the world. So that's also a time when you can really look at your life and say, how can I beautify my life more? Because beauty is a pathway to the divine. Like, how can I have more harmony and order in my life? So that's the goddess. And then, so you feel that energy of the darkness going up to the fullness. And then we come back in again. And this is something we're never taught, because we're always on a treadmill in our current world. But this is the time to come in. And so in that third phase is shine like a goddess. So it's love like a mother, reign like a queen, shine like a goddess, and lead like a sage. And why I called it that is because it's that time to come back in and say, okay, what have I learned in this moon cycle? Like, to take the time to reflect and receive your own wisdom, so that when you start again, not only do you have the opportunity to let go of anything that is not serving you, it's a great practice of letting go before the next moon cycle, but also you actually get to see what works and what didn't work. And so I use that moon cycle to kind of complete things for the moon cycle, and then receive my wisdom. And then I begin to slow down to go back into emptiness, into the mother, so that we can receive what we're meant to receive. So it's a regenerative cycle. It's a nurturing cycle. It gives us time to take care of ourselves, connect with others, manage our lives, and slow down. Like, this moon cycle honors the mystery. It honors slowing down.
Yeah, so beautiful. Thank you for sharing this with us. And I want to share too that this, you know, this event is happening from basically starting at the full moon.
Yes.
Right? And there's no mistake there, you know, like, that's so important, because that's when we can all engage and connect the most strongly.
Right.
And really, you know, the audience can really receive the wisdom, and the speakers, you know, can really share their brilliance in the biggest way. So I love that. I love what you've shared, and I want to bring that to everybody's attention, you know.
That's a great thing to do, is to plan. Even for you, that's a great example of lunar planning, because what it does, it helps us be more supported. of course, as you launch this out in the world, you want to have as much support as you can with crazy technology, right? And all the other kind of things that happen. But if you can launch it so it's more received, the goddess is the perfect time to do it. So yeah, I really bow down to your wisdom there.
Yeah. And for everybody listening, you know, to really think about if you want to plan a party or a social engagement or, you know, a big event for your business, right, to do that at the full moon time. And if you want to really get the best rest that you can, or just take a day for solitude, right, then do that at around the new moon time. It's very, very powerful to really sink into this cycle.
Yeah. And I'd love to say, because I know it's challenging to actually rest. I couldn't believe how challenging it was for me to take the time to rest. And so it's not like you have to go on vacation for 7 days or even 3 days. You can start small. So for anyone out there who wants to try it, is to have that next new moon 3 days before, 3 days after, schedule and start with just an hour. Treat yourself to, I love anything that's grounding, like a foot massage, or spend some time walking on the earth or walking on the beach. And as long as you do it with that intention of I'm loving myself like a mother, then that multiplies. It's not that you have to just sit back and do nothing. Yeah. Yeah. So I just wanted to say that for anyone who might think, well, I can't do this because I'm too busy. Yes, I know that, and we are all so busy, and it is hard. But with that intention, it'll be surprising, especially as you see that when you rest, your life, and you follow this cycle, your life gets to be more in balance, and more magical things happen without so much effort. Yeah. Because this is our rhythm. This is the way we were meant to live.
Absolutely. Yeah, so much more can blossom.
Yes.
Allow ourselves to come into alignment with this cycle.
And if you think about it, you know, our bodies physically have been in training with this cycle for years through our menstrual cycle.
Yeah.
So it's really not something new. It's a remembrance. Mm-hmm.
Yes, very powerful. Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, can you tell us something about archetypal lunar guidance? Why is that important? I know you've covered this a little bit already, but how can this really help us to access our own wisdom and our inner truth?
Yeah. What I find so magical about the moon is, you know, when you look back and you look at the structure of time and energy that we've really embraced for thousands of years, is based on our Gregorian calendar, which is a solar calendar, right? Mm-hmm. And it was first created by Julius Caesar, so an emperor, and then Pope Gregory, so a pope. So a very masculine, like dominate the world kind of energy. And so we have our planners to dominate our lives, right?
So true.
It's so true, right? And I love planners. And that's why I'm always looking for the lunar, you know, a planner that will suit me. And I think I'm just going to have to create one, because I still always feel like I'm trying to dominate, and that's not what I want, how I want to live. And so when you look at the structure of, that's a masculine structure that we've been tied to. And it really is a 365 days of the year, 24/7, go, go, go. And the masculine, because of that, we have great technology, scientific breakthroughs, that energy of the masculine. I don't want in any way or anyone to get the impression that the masculine is something negative. The masculine is amazing. Even in this painting, he's this one who holds the structure so that the feminine can flow. Mm-hmm. And so that's what I want to invite in, is this idea of structure and flow, because the flow is where the juice is. It's where the liveliness is. It's where the pleasure is. And the structure is where the production, it's the moving forward. It's the not tripping over everyone else in the dance hall. Because there's a vision, right? Yeah. And so back to the lunar guidance, we for thousands of years have been living our lives based on our calendars, our planners, this idea of always producing. And lunar guidance, and of course, what's come along with that is, I don't know if you can hear my dog barking here, what's come along with that are all those ways in which I, when I read that list of perfectionism, of comparison, this hierarchical way in which one has to be, you know, higher or better than the other in order to really be valuable. When you look and step into lunar guidance, it's another structure that we can look at, especially as women, we can look at and align and know that this is something that we can remember because our bodies have been training with it. And it's not a structure like the masculine, which is rigid. It is fluid. It flows. And it doesn't have that, when I wrote for Voices of the Moonlight, it wasn't that I was going to say, okay, this is the mother archetype and this is how you should be. It's an invitation to activate that energy of love inside of yourself, or that invitation to activate the queen in you that is in alignment with her truth, her nobility, who's in alignment with her vision of what she wants in the world. So that's how lunar guidance can really help us, especially if we take the time and use the moon phases to dive into those archetypes, to activate and embody them, to sit in reflection of the gifts of that energy in our lives. It helps us to find our own truths instead of having these voices layered upon us of who we need to be. Like my queen could be very different from your queen, and I vow to your queen. There's a what's happening, and what I've been really feeling into in my communities is we are at a point in our history where to replace hierarchy with synarchy. The synarchy, which just means co-rulership, where I can look at you and I can say, I bow to you. I honor you for who you are. And, you know, you can bow to me, and I don't have to feel validated by comparing myself to you in any way.
Yeah.
You know, so that we can all sit on our own thrones. And I think that's for men too. This is a healing that can be for men as well, is to be able to say, okay, these are my gifts and this is how I can contribute, and how can we dance together in mystery so that we can really create the world that we desire.
Yeah. Yes. I love that you brought this up. I think this is such an important way, an important aspect of how we need to move forward, because our world has been based so much on competition and power over and, you know, hierarchy. Mm-hmm. And what I am finding more and more in this beautiful, you know, space of kind of online entrepreneurs who are really working with consciousness, really working to heal on their own and also to help the collective evolve, is that I don't feel this sense of competition. I feel this sense of, we are all in this together. We are working together, men and women, and, you know, we are working together for our shared collective future. And I think this, what you're speaking about here, that, you know, that I can be in my queendom, you can be in your queendom, and we respect and honor each other so much, right?
Yes.
And that is the way that we can co-create and collaborate and move forward.
Yes.
Really powerful.
Yeah. I really believe that is the way forward, that because competition and comparison has led to what we see now in the world, and our world, our mother is really needs support.
Yeah.
You know, yes, and we can step into our own gifts and share them. And again, without that comparison, like I'm sharing more or he's sharing less or whatever, but we all can share in whatever capacity, whether it's through recycling, you know, your plastics, or buying less of them, or coming and doing a summit like this, all of them have value.
Yeah.
Just showing up and listening is valuable.
Exactly. Yeah. And we can all find that in our own lives,
mm-hmm.
and build that in our own lives.
Right.
In very small ways, as well as bigger ways.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. Beautiful. Well, so with all that in mind, why is it imperative that we really embrace and honor the feminine right now at this catalyzing time in our world?
Yeah. I just really feel, I love the title of the fierceness of the mother, because often when we think of the mother, the archetype of the mother, we feel the tenderness, the softness, the sweetness of the mother, right? And sometimes we think of the mama bear, the fierceness, you know, we will do anything to protect our children, that. But there is another aspect of fierceness that I feel like sometimes we think of fierceness as maybe more aggressive, you know, assertive action, but there's a fierceness in the mother, which is true for the mother as well, but there's also a fierceness in being able to continually love regardless of the outpicturing. That's the fierceness of compassion. And the outpicturing right now is scary. It's dark. And the fact that our Mother Earth, the mother archetype, the divine feminine, is still here supporting and loving us is fierce. The ability to maintain that love, regardless of the countless mistakes that we make as humans, to love us unconditionally. That's what I find to be so fierce. And that's what I long to embody in myself, is to be able to love unconditionally. It's not easy. It is a hard path. Yeah. Yeah. You know, the ego gets in the way, right? But when we can tap more into our essence, and that's what I really feel that archetypes help us do, is to step into more of who we are, to embrace the energies of the potential of who we can be. The more that we can do that, then I feel that we can provide an elixir for our planet. Mm-hmm. When we can be able to take what we have, the structure that we have right now, and begin to flow in it, to flow in unconditional love, to flow in showing up even though it's hard, and to flow in not turning away because it hurts too much. Compassion is, it's hard to be compassionate because it forces you to actually look at the pain. It forces you to actually feel the pain. And I feel in some ways, I know it's true in my own life, that sometimes I have the blinders on and because I'm busy. Yeah. Sometimes because I'm busy, right? Or just because I don't want to feel the pain of it. And so I think that that is part of the dance of being in the feminine, is to be able, this beautiful Tonglin practice of seeing something that's painful, like the destruction of our earth, and actually being able to breathe it in and to feel it, mm-hmm. and how painful it is. And then, this is the goddess of compassion archetype, is to, instead of take it in and go, grumble about it, oh, it's never going to change, or to blame it, it's this, that, and the other, is to breathe out loving kindness. You know, that's the Tonglin practice, is to breathe in the pain and then to breathe out compassion. So for some of us, that can be just the practice that we have. For some of us, create summits like this and have the discussions. For some of us, it's to buy a sandwich for a homeless man, you know, to feel what it's like to be out there in the heat and to do something about it, no matter how small. It's not that we're going to each solve or the problems in a day, but I think it's being able to tap into the fierceness of compassion that is the key for us to heal our world, the fierceness of the mother. I think of the goddess Durga, you know, the Hindu goddess with riding the lion. She's the mother. Or I think of Kuan Yin, the goddess of compassion, as she cries the tears of compassion, and she's riding her dragon. You know, that's a new model of feminine power. Yes. That's fierce. And that's the fierceness of the mother. And that's why I think it's so important right now.
Yeah.
Because we can make a difference. Yeah.
Yes. Thank you so much for that. I resonate so much with everything that you said there. And that's what stands out for me with fierceness, is that there is love in fierceness. It's not anger, you know, it's fierceness, and it contains so much love, and it is just so much more powerful because of that.
Yes, and it's unconditional. It's unconditional love. Even as we look at the shadows and the horrors and all of that, like how can we come back to that state of unconditional love? It's hard, but that's the only solution that I see, really.
Yes.
To be able to come to that state of compassion and then make decisions out of that.
Yeah. Yeah, and live from that place.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Well, thank you so much, Aurora, for all that you have shared. It's been so beautiful to just be immersed in all of this. And I know you have a really wonderful free gift for our audience about to help them discover their own divine feminine archetype of the moon. So would you like to say a few more words about that?
Yes, I'm so excited. This is the first quiz I've ever created. So I love quizzes. I love archetypes. I love the moon. And so this has just been a labor of love to put this together. And basically, it's a quiz online. It takes a couple minutes, a minute or so. And then what you'll receive is a report on which of these four faces, mother, queen, goddess, or sage, is really calling to be more activated in your life, which is the one that could be a place for you to start to focus your energy, which of the moon phases might be a good one for you to work in as you begin to rewire your own structures, and if you choose to spiral into your own evolution.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for offering that to our audience. And so I really encourage everybody to just scroll down a little bit below this video recording and you'll see the link to claim that gift. And I hope you all will enjoy it so much. It sounds really rich.
It's fun.
Yeah. Wonderful. Okay. Well, thank you again, Aurora, for being a part of this Fierceness of the Mother event. It's been such an honor to talk with you today.
Oh, thank you so much. My pleasure.